Turn with me once again in our studies in 1 Corinthians to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and there at the 23rd verse and reading through verse 26, the well-known words of institution of the Lord's Supper. Hear the word of God, 1 Corinthians 11 at the 23rd verse. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, this do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Thus far, the word of God. One aspect of the Lord's Supper that we always need to remind ourselves of, and indeed nurture in our own thinking, in our souls, is the matter of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, This is my body broken for you. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. He is present by these symbols. They remind us of him. And they remind us also of this in his very nature. In Jesus' name, you shall call his name, you remember, the prophet said, Emmanuel. His name means God with us. And of course, the reference there is to the incarnation. God the Son becoming Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made flesh. And that name holds not only the promise of his birth to Mary in due time, his taking of our human nature, but it also is, I think, redolent of this matter of his continuing presence with his people. He seals that too by the sending of the Holy Spirit after he departs. Following the ascension, following his death and resurrection. He sends the Holy Spirit to indwell us. We read about that in John chapter 15 and 16 a moment ago. And of course it's sealed by the promise of his bodily return at the end of the age. And the hope of heaven when we will together be face to face with him forever. In all of this, all of these various strands, Jesus means and declares this to us, that he means to be near to believers. He means for believers to draw near to him and experience something of his presence day by day throughout life and, of course, eventually in glory. And I suggest to you that this is also signified and sealed to us in the Lord's Supper, the essence of which is Jesus showing himself to us in the sacrament so as to nourish our souls, encourage us in our hearts, commune with us who are united to him by faith as we faithfully participate. But the question, of course, is how and in what way is Jesus Christ present for us in this Holy Supper? I'd like to make three points in connection with this. First of all, is the general point, Christ is always with his people. It is so important for our comfort and encouragement to be clear that Jesus is really present with us at all times. And this is true, believer, I speak to Christians here, those who know the Lord. It's true even if you feel he is not. And you may feel He is distant from you for all sorts of reasons. It may be by reason of doubt, maybe by reason of your own sin, backsliding, or sickness even, or even just tiredness. There are many ways in which we may come to feel that the Lord has abandoned us or withdrawn from us. But the great truth that is held out to us in the Scriptures is that He is always with us. He is Emmanuel to us. In every respect, He is always around, we might say. Jesus then is present personally in the Lord's Supper. To come to that particular specific. And this is more than simply divine omnipresence. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He is present everywhere to all people in all time and space. God is immanent, is the word. Immanent, He is present in His creation, that which He has made. The creation isn't God. We're not pantheists, but God is immanent in it. He is present. He is at work. We sang in the Psalm 139 the question of the psalmist, where can I flee from your presence? Psalm 139 verse 7. The answer is nowhere. God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. You may think that you will escape Him too if you're not a believer. Indeed, in the great day, if you're still not a believer, you will call for the mountains to fall upon you, to hide you from the wrath of God, but that will be to no avail. He's more than divine omnipresence, though. That's a given. Jesus, the Son of God enfleshed, is present with His people in a personal way. Personal relational way. Positive personal relational way. Saving personal relational way. That is the fruit of that personal relationship of saving faith that those who are His have to Him. Believers in Christ are united to Christ by their faith, and this translates into a personal communion with Him. Jesus is present personally in the Lord's Supper, as indeed He is in the experience of worship and of prayer. And so on. Jesus also is present, we should note, spiritually, but not physically. It's very easy for us to get muddled here and mystical in an unhealthy way. It's important for us to understand that Jesus' personal presence with us is a spiritual presence, that physically He is elsewhere. Jesus is today and every day since until He comes again. Jesus is in heaven, in His resurrected body, seated at the right hand of God. Hebrews 1 verse 3. Jesus took His body with Him, so to speak, to heaven at the ascension. And that is where He stays until He comes, Acts 1:11, in like manner. As you see, Jesus, however tall He was, 6 foot tall or whatever, I don't know, go up into the clouds, so He will come down, same size, etc., in His body, real body. Jesus, of course, has a spiritual body, in the sense of 1 Corinthians 15:44. But that doesn't mean He is a spirit who can float about all over the place. The resurrection body, spiritual body, is a real body, spatially distinct, and only and always in one place, including that moment when He comes again and every eye shall behold Him. Physically, yes, physically, Jesus is in one place at a time in His body, and that place is the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is, however, the God-man. He is the one mediator between God and man. And is in this connection with His role as the Savior, that Jesus is spiritually present as if He is in His body, even though His body is in heaven, but He is as really present spiritually to those who are His. And the answer is, how does He do this? The answer is by the Holy Spirit whom He has sent. That's why we read John 15:26, John 16:13, and we might have read John 14:26 also, where He talks about the Helper who will come after He has left His disciples physically. Now, on the other side of this, you and me, and our relationship to Him, the other side is that every believer, 1 Corinthians 6:19, you remember, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in heaven, but He ministers in us by the Holy Spirit. And this sense of Jesus' presence in the Christian's life is not a figment of our imagination or a product of sort of pious sentiments. It's not an awareness that we generate. The ministering presence of the Spirit is Jesus being present. The Spirit is Jesus to us, as it were. The two are experientially to us the one and the same. We could never say it was Jesus on this occasion and the Holy Spirit on another occasion. The Holy Spirit is Jesus ministering to us. The Holy Spirit is how Jesus communes with us. The Holy Spirit is who is present with us, even as Jesus is personally with us through Him and in Him. The Holy Spirit is Jesus ministering to us. And so Jesus' presence is an objective presence to which we are made more or less sensitive by faith as the Spirit works in us. And a changed heart, born again by the Holy Spirit, converted to Christ through entrance into faith and personal knowledge of Him through that faith, a changed heart and a renewed nature knows and sees in the very depth of our being the presence of Christ. We commune with Christ in and through the Holy Spirit who lives in us, in our hearts. This, of course, is very creepy to people who do not want to know Jesus and do not know Him. But to us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, it seals to us the love of Christ every day in our lives, and often most preciously in those moments when we are being brought by Him through some struggle and out into the He leads me by the still waters of the soul, we might say. Christ then is always with His believing people. The second point to be made in connection with the Lord's Supper is that Christ constantly feeds His people. Now, the general way in which Christ feeds His people is laid out for us in the Bread of Life discourse in John chapter 6. Now, that Bread of Life discourse, I am the bread of life and so on, is not about the Lord's Supper in particular. It is, however, about how the Lord constantly feeds His people through all the means of grace, as we look to Him by faith and in the exercise of that faith. Jesus, you remember, describes Himself, as I mentioned, as the bread of life. He uses that figure of speech there. Jesus is the bread that gives life. And He says in John 6:33, "For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." In John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is the giver of life. He is food and drink for life eternal in this life and in the life to come, now and forevermore. He is the real bread of God, not the manna that they ate in the wilderness and they are dead, but that bread which is to endure forever and forever without end. Now you can see how that general teaching, Jesus is the bread of life, applies specifically in the experience of the Lord's Supper when we partake of the symbols of His body and blood in the bread and in the cup. Jesus also tells us in that bread of life discourse how He can be our bread, how He can be our bread. Jesus' own statements, I think, are astounding there. They even sound grisly to our ears at certain points. In John 6, verse 53, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. John 6, 63, it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he means there, who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and life. That is to say, not Holy Spirit there, but Spirit, that is, that which transforms and strengthens and upholds your spirit. The fruit of the ministry of the Spirit. The fruit of the victory of the cross when He bore in his flesh the sins of sinners like you and me. And then, of course, you remember the famous words in Matthew 4:4, which are quoting Deuteronomy 8:3 from the Old Testament, man shall not live by bread alone, physical bread, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And of course, Jesus also, to connect the metaphorical dots, Jesus is in John 1, the Word, who was with God and was God, and so on. So how do we feed on Jesus? We feed on Him by faith. Faith, constantly believing in Him, by receiving His Word seriously, by dwelling on it, by praying over it, by following Jesus, obeying it as a disciple, and all the while rejoicing in it. Not as something we grudge to do, but something we want to do, something that excites us and energizes us and moves us, and in which we give ourselves enthusiastically as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoicing, as Jude says in the 21st verse of that little letter, the love of God, rejoicing in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This is Christian experience of the presence of Christ. Not having to think, oh, what does God want me to do now? But rather, I have this great and glorious Savior, and it is my privilege to be His and to rejoice in Him and follow Him. And what happens in the Lord's Supper? This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. What's happening there is just one special way in which Christ feeds our faith and establishes us in our Christian lives. Christ then constantly feeds His people. And finally, Christ comes to us in the supper. And He does so in this very vivid way, as we eat and drink the visible symbols of His substitutionary atonement. They're the visible symbols of the cross. They're so sweet and easy and warm compared to the cross itself. A cross is a place and instrument of execution. The cross is a brutal thing. The cross is all blood and bodily fluids and stench and agony and humiliation. The symbols of bread and the cup, you might say, well, that's awfully sanitized. But of course, you see, it's pointing to the fact that the cross is over, that the victory is won. And what we are doing is we are rejoicing and proclaiming the Lord's victorious death until He comes. And that is a sweet thing. And the symbols are adapted to that purpose. We are not redoing the cross. We are rejoicing in the victory of the cross and the fact that that death in our place is once for all and not to be done again. That's the terrible fallacy of the Roman Catholic Mass. Fallacy is too weak a word. The re-sacrificing of Christ, so to speak. We are not re-sacrificing Jesus in the Lord's Supper. We are proclaiming the victory of His death as that which has secured our redemption. So we have this vivid picture then of the atonement. And in these symbols, the bread and the wine, we have a real, though spiritual, connection between the signs and the things signified. The signs and the salvation signified. So how is Jesus present in the signs? This is my body, He says. Now I dare say you could say, well, that means He's saying this is His body, like an extension of His flesh. And when the priest in the Roman Mass says, hoc est corpus meum, supposedly the miracle is that this transubstantiates into the actual body and blood of the Lord Jesus. But I hope it's clear that when He says, this is my body, He's holding it in His hand, this loaf. This is my body? No, it's not part of His body. It wasn't part of His body at the Last Supper. It's symbolic of His body. He's not saying, this is becoming my flesh, and when you eat this loaf, you're going to eat my flesh. No, no, no. Yes, you'll eat His flesh in the sense of John 6. You'll feed upon Him by faith. But this is my body does not make the bread into Jesus' flesh. That's not what Jesus is saying any more than He says in John 10, I am the door of the sheep. Or in John 15, I am the vine. I'm expecting you to say, oh, isn't that a miracle? You've made yourself into a piece of wood, or a plant that produces grapes. But what is true is that Jesus is spiritually present and personally present to believers as they commune in faith. Charles Hodge of Princeton in the 19th century wrote in his commentary on this point, he says, he who receives the cup, speaking of the cup, he who receives the cup in faith receives the covenant of which the cup is the pledge. Likewise, he who eats the bread in faith receives the benefits under the covenant of Christ's body broken for sin. John Calvin, in one of his more mystical and not intelligible moments, had the notion that somehow or other we are sustained by the actual body and blood of Christ, even though the bread, that somehow or other we are taking in the actual flesh and the actual blood of Christ when we receive the sacrament, even though physically the signs are bread and wine. And I think what he was trying to get at there was that when, as I say, it's unintelligible, if it's bread and it's a cup, it's bread and it's a cup. Well, what he is, I think, trying to reach for is that here in a special way, Jesus is ministering to our souls as we ponder the cost of His sacrifice and the claims of His sacrifice and the victory and accomplishments of His sacrifice. we receive the benefits of the cross as we contemplate through these symbols what Jesus suffered on the cross and why he suffered and in whose place he suffered. But we do so from the perspective of victory, and we do so as Christ personally ministers to us, is personally present to us in the Holy Spirit whom he has sent. John 14 through 16. Now what does this mean for our communing? Well, it means that when the believer comes to the Lord's Supper, we are not coming to a ritual or a pageant, but we're coming to an act of faith. We're not coming to something magical in which we get something, whatever is going on in our head. We're coming in an act of faith in which God works in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure, as Paul says to the Philippians, Philippians 2:13. The agent is the Holy Spirit, but it is the Son, Jesus Christ, who is God ministering to us in and through the person of the Holy Spirit indwelling us and present in the room, as it were. And so there is in the Lord's Supper spiritual food. Jesus is the meat that endures forever. John 6:27. There is spiritual work. Jesus is imparted to us in measure by the Holy Spirit as we embrace him afresh in faith. And there is a spiritual mouth given to us. Jesus is received and proclaimed in and out, received and proclaimed in faith. For as often as you eat, ingest this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, you witness, you proclaim, you say outwardly, the Lord's death, till he comes, till they see him face to face. And every eye beholds him. And so, therefore, it means that when we come to the supper, we come to it not as something else we do in the church, but we come believing and we come expecting, seeking blessing from the Lord himself. We come to the supper to meet with Christ, to confess him, to receive him, and to commune with him. And Jesus comes to commune with us and communicate himself to us. It's a cup of blessing, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:16. He's really present by his Spirit. He calls us to focus on the cross. He is present in the administration of the elements. He is present in the ingestion of the elements, our receiving them, thoughtfully discerning his body, understanding that he is ministering to our own souls. Jesus calls us then to focus on the cross, his death, and on the victory that has resulted from that and which has issued in our own conversion to him, and all the promises of the covenant which are ours, yes and amen, in Jesus Christ. It's really at the heart of the Christian life, at where our souls are, where we stand with him and how we relate to him. Jesus' presence then and ministry is telescoped into this one sacrament. You have his incarnation, his earthly ministry, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his heavenly session, seated at the right hand, and his bodily return. And it is all telescoped into the supper. In the supper we are brought, as it were, to heaven, to commune with Christ, who has, from eternity to eternity, and particularly through his incarnation and his passion, has wrought our very salvation itself. We therefore must come to the Lord's table. If we are Christians at all, we will want to come to the Lord's table. Why? Because, number one, Jesus truly communes with Christians under the special actions of this symbolic meal. The focus is always and entirely on the heart of the gospel. You can compare the different aspects of the regular ministry of the Word and Prayer, which covers all sorts of things, ranges over all sorts of the whole breadth of teaching and of ethics and of behavior and of emotions and of things like worldview and so on. We have a huge range of teaching from the Bible. But in the Lord's Supper, it is the heart of the gospel always, because it is the cross and the broken body and the shed blood and your personal relationship with this Jesus. We will also come, Christian friends, because Jesus' presence in the supper is so personal and is so palpable that taking the signs and symbols requires the response of faith from the heart. This is true of the other means of grace. We come to respond in faith. We cannot hear the Word of God and just be spectators. If we are, we're killing ourselves. If we think we're growing in grace and we're just spectators, we can't hear a prayer or agree to a prayer request. We can't pray ourselves faithfully and imagine we are blessed unless our hearts are in it. We're not cranking out a performance. It's about our heart and our relationship and response of faith to the Lord who saved us. Well, in the supper, we are face to face with Jesus as we shall be in eternity, except that then we will see Him with our eyes. The whole Jesus. The risen Jesus. Eyeball to eyeball. But in the supper, He is present in the symbols of His broken body and His shed blood. Not bodily, but really, nonetheless. And so, Christian, are you moved or unmoved with respect to the Lord's Supper? Then may I urge you to be moved, not to be indifferent, and come to Christ as He ministers to us in this way. And if you believe you are a Christian and you have not made a public profession, then don't you want to come to the Lord's table? Don't you want to join with the people of God? Isn't it time for you to profess faith before the church, meet with the elders, unite with the church, and join the saints at the Holy Supper? And if you're not a believer at all, and it's all puzzling to you, as it was to me when I was a small boy sitting in the gallery in Viewforth Church in Edinburgh, and wondering, what is it that these people are doing? If you're not a believer at all, understand that this is calling you to Christ. Christ died for sinners just like you. And he who comes to Him, he says himself, I will in no way cast out. Receive Him as your Savior, that you might join with all the saints in union and communion with Him, and feed upon Him who gave Himself, that the likes of you might be saved, the likes of us, you and me, saved by grace, through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God. And so we desire to proclaim the Lord's death, even until He comes. Let us pray. Our Lord and our Redeemer, we bless You. We bless You, O God, that You are always with Your people. And we bless You that You are specially with Your people. And we bless You for the Lord's Supper as an institution, which is not given to us so that we can have a ritual merely, but it is given to us as something very special, as something in which we meet with You in a special way, and in which You feed us and grow us in our walk with You. So minister to us, Heavenly Father. Help us to both administer this sacrament aright in this church, all of us to participate in it aright as the people of God in this place. And so we pray in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.